Chapter 4. In Cabot, some 2.5 hours east of Van Buren, Linda Martin, the adopted daughter of Ruey Ann Park, stood in her laundry room folding clothes. On a table by the dryer, a bucket of whites soaked in water and Clorox. An old portable radio sat on the windowsill, and Linda listened to the national news. The Cardinals and the Yankees and all the other Major League Baseball teams were threatening to strike. President Reagan and Nancy were at Camp David. A new deadly disease was killing men, but doctors couldn't figure out why. Her husband Howard peeked in on his way to the kitchen. "Be sure to put Downy in with the rinse. I like the way it makes my socks feel." "I always do, Howard." But she always didn't. That was one way she could get even with her bossy husband. He treated her just like her mother had, like she didn't have a brain in her head and was lucky to have a place to live and food to eat. She heard Howard in the kitchen opening cabinet doors, closing them. "Where's the Windex?" he yelled. "I want to clean the windows in the station wagon." "Under the sink," she called. She wanted to scream, "Right where it always is, dumbass." But she didn't. Howard and their oldest son, Carl, had gone to a Boy Scout camp the night before. The middle son, Harry, had spent the night with his granny in Cabot. And the youngest, an 18-month-old, was left with his mom. And now all three were sound asleep in the den in front of the TV. Linda should be happy. She did indeed have a bed to sleep in, food to eat, and clothes to wear. The mantra her husband had borrowed from her mother and now preached to her. The only difference was that Howard had thrown in three sons to add to the things she should be thankful for. Linda was standing, looking out the window, when her husband touched her shoulder. "Hey," he said, "what are you thinking about so hard? That's unusual for you." "Oh, I was thinking how much I love to do laundry." Howard actually chuckled. "When's supper?" She turned off the radio and took the folded clothes into the master bedroom. She placed Howard's underwear in one drawer, his socks and handkerchiefs in another. On her side of the closet, she hung up the navy blue skirt she had worn to church that morning. Howard selected all her clothes, just as her mother had. But the clothes her mother had selected were what she liked, not what was popular with teenagers. Sometimes her mother had picked out patterns and materials at Fort Smith's Boston store basement for Mrs. Riley to make clothes for her. The same seamstress who fashioned underwear out of the red rayon Ruey Ann purchased for herself. Linda laughed out loud, thinking about her mother's red underwear. Nothing could make that woman sexy. Linda placed her clean cotton panties and bras in a small dresser drawer, checking to make sure the love letter from a divorce client of Howard's was still safely hidden. She had found the letter in a jacket pocket of his blue suit, the one he wore to court. "Missing you on Monday," the letter read. "Longing for you on Tuesday. Happy on Wednesday." Linda had felt sick when she'd read the letter. She knew who Judy was. She was the kind of woman men liked. Blonde. Giggled at everything, funny or not. Always wore tight jeans and teased her hair like Dolly Parton. She'd been married before. Linda had begun to suspect something was going on between the two when Judy, the client, started to call Howard at home so often. Normally, Howard wouldn't accept calls at home. "Please call the office tomorrow," was his standard response to a call after hours. Linda sat on the bench at the foot of the bed and looked out at her world of Wynwood Heights. She spent hours watering the newly sodded yard, and her home was something she took pride in. She heard the familiar Sunday afternoon sounds of lawnmowers and weed eaters. Across the street, the Jackson's daughter, a champion high school tennis player, bounced a tennis ball on the driveway. Her daddy had bought her a new wooden Chris Everett racket for her birthday. These were all good, happy people, and she longed to be one of them. The phone on the bedside table rang, and Linda grabbed it after the first ring. "Hello," she said. Her brother identified himself and began weeping. Linda sat down on the bed. Sam Hugh, what's wrong?
It's Mother. She's dead.
Dead? What happened? When? Oh, Sam Hugh, Sam Hugh, Sam Hugh.
Someone killed her, Linda. I found her in the den with blood everywhere, all over her head.
Horrible thing to see, Linda. Horrible, horrible, horrible. Who killed her?
Linda could tell her brother was drunk, but he'd never be so drunk he'd make up something like this.
Where are you?
I'm home now, but the police are still at Mother's. They think I did it. I can tell by the way they look at me.
When did it happen?
Last night or early this morning.
Oh, my God.
The state police are here. The sheriff and that idiot Wayne Hicks. All the people from the newspaper. Even the goddamn TV crews are here now.
We'll be there just as soon as we can.
Linda hung up the phone. She put her hand over her mouth and wailed in a low voice that grew louder and louder. From outside, Howard heard her and rushed into the bedroom. He sat on the bed beside Linda.
What the hell happened?
Sam Hugh just called. Mother's dead. He found her. Someone killed her.
What?
Who would kill her? What did Sam Hugh say again? Tell me without crying.
My mother's been killed, she wailed.
Shh, shh. Don't frighten the children.
I can't believe it. All these years I've hated her, but now she's dead. I don't know what to think.
You need to lie down.
I don't want to lie down, Howard. Will you get me a Coke? I feel like I'm going to be sick.
Okay, stay right there. I'll get a wet washcloth. Linda sobbed again, but now in deep gulps, sometimes losing her breath.
It's not true, she said over and over. How can it be true?
Howard came back with her Coke, took a sip himself, and then handed it to her. He rubbed her face with a wet cloth, almost causing her to spill the bottle. She hated this act of love and sympathy. Linda wanted to tell him to stop it, that she knew it was just an act. She wanted to scream and tell him she had found the love letter and knew about Judy. Instead, she found the courage to smile and play the game.
You're so good to me. It's all so unbelievable, she said, resting the Coke bottle against her cheek. I used to wish she would die. Then when Daddy died, I thought God was punishing me for those thoughts.
She looked at Howard and then asked,
Who could have done it?
Let's don't think about that now. Linda had met her husband at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville in the early 1960s. He'd been her first and only boyfriend. She'd often chuckled, remembering how dumb he looked with his short navy haircut compared to the other college boys. She and Howard had belonged to a group who went to church parties instead of fraternity or sorority parties. Linda returned to the horrible present when Carl and Harry ran into the room, wondering why their mom was crying. With their sandy hair, they resembled their father, but their slender facial features were more like hers.
Mom, what's wrong? Harry asked. Are you sick?
Howard put an arm around each son. Mom is sad. We just found out Parkey died. That's why Mom is crying. We have to go to Van Buren and see about things, and visit with your Uncle Sam Hugh. Harry's bottom lip quivered, and his eyes filled with tears. He barely knew his grandmother, but he understood it was a bad thing to die. Howard patted Harry on the back. I'll see if Mrs. Coleman can come and stay with you boys. He looked at his watch, picked up the phone, and dialed the number he had memorized. She should be home from church now. Howard always took control of everything. He decided if they needed a babysitter. He decided if there was a civic event they should attend together. Linda wasn't allowed to get a sitter during the day, even to get her hair done. She slowly stood and picked up the baby, who had slept through her loud weeping and toddled in looking for her. She hugged him tightly. The reality of her life, as unhappy as it was that her sons needed her, and she vowed to always take care of them. Bobby was only 18 months old, and he loved his mama much more than his daddy, Linda knew for certain. Howard wasn't a cuddly sort of father. She put the baby on her hip.
"Yes, you call Mrs. Coleman. That's a good idea. And I'll get us packed. I imagine we'll need to stay several days."
Howard put his hands on his waist and stretched backward. Lately, he'd been bothered by his back. He guessed it was the result of sitting at his desk and working hard for his growing family.
"I've got to check on something at the office. I'll take the little red car."
"Take the station wagon," Linda said. "What does it matter? You didn't drive the Chevette while I was gone, did you?"
"Please, please, Howard," Linda said, her voice rising. "Must you quiz me? My God, I've just found out my mother's been murdered. I know you don't want me to drive your little red car."
Howard looked at Linda, frowning, his nostrils flaring like they always did when he was angry. "Wait just a minute here. You're upset, I know." He stared directly into her eyes. "But that's no reason to scream at me. I'm tired. I slept in a tent all night long on the hard ground. Now I've got to drive to Van Buren, talk to the police, and see your brother, who will no doubt be drunk."
"Don't say things about Sam Hugh. He's all I've got left now, besides the boys."
"What about me? Don't I count around here?"
"Of course you count," Linda said, almost in a whisper. "You've always counted most of all."
He patted Linda's shoulder. "Okay, then. Let's simmer down."
Linda hated for him to pat her shoulder. It was like he was patting a dog.
She watched Howard drive out of the driveway in the 1980 Chevette that was owned by the law firm, ostensibly used only by Howard in connection with his law practice. "Tax reasons," he said. Linda suspected he drove to the office to call his girlfriend. She telephoned her neighbor, Martha Gray.
"Something horrible has happened. My mother's been killed."
She listened as her friend made the appropriate responses to the news of the murder.
"Will you please tell everyone for me? Tell the new minister I'll have to cancel the cookout Wednesday night."
She made a list of things to do before she left, and then she made a list of what to pack. She would wear the navy suit she wore for Easter to the funeral. Jeans and short-sleeved shirts would do for the rest of the time. Howard's half of the closet was full of clothes. Suits together, sport jackets together, dress pants together, short-sleeve shirts together, long-sleeve shirts together, jeans together. Even the ties hung separated by colors on the wooden tie rack. She knew she could never choose the right tie with the right suit. Let him pack his own damn clothes. Linda heard the doorbell and ran to answer it. She held out her arms to Mrs. Coleman.
"Thank you so much for coming. I don't know what I'd do without you."
"Oh, Linda, I'm so sorry about your mother. Such an awful thing." She pulled a white lace handkerchief from under the sleeve of her church dress and handed it to Linda.
"Have you heard anything else?"
"No, nothing. We'll know more when we get there. My brother lives there."
Mrs. Coleman was a member of the Cabot Church of Christ. She wanted to ask what church Linda's mother had attended. Instead, she asked, "Was your mother right with the Lord?" Linda laughed.
If Mother were here, she'd ask if the Lord was right with her.
Mrs. Coleman didn't know what to say to that, so she asked a simpler question.
"What can I do to help you?"
"You can fold the clothes in the dryer. The boys can show you where things go. And I have a couple of things soaking in some bleach water. Rinse those out and put them in the basket ready to go in the washer."
When Howard returned from his office, he greeted Mrs. Coleman with a friendly hug. "I'll be right home after the funeral, which should be in a few days. Linda will probably stay longer, so if you can plan on staying at least a week, I'd appreciate it."
"I can stay as long as you like. I've got my suitcase in the car."
She smiled and said,
"Are the children upset? Did they know their grandmother well?"
"They only saw her a few times a year. I'm afraid Mrs. Park wasn't the grandmotherly type. The children got on her nerves." Linda called to Howard from the bedroom.
"Come get your clothes together. We need to hurry. I don't want Sam Hugh to have to face all those people alone."
As Howard reached for a navy suit and red tie out of the closet, he said, "Don't worry about Sam Hugh. I'm sure he's well anesthetized by now." Linda shot Howard an angry look.
Yes, that's what I'm afraid of.
And I'm going to lose at least 3 days of work, and with gas at close to $1.50, and add in what I'll have to pay Mrs. Coleman. Damn it, this is going to cost a hell of a lot of money.
I'm sorry someone murdered my mother, and I'm sorry it's going to cost you money.
He gave her a hateful look, and they didn't talk to each other on the entire trip to Van Buren. Linda was glad because she needed time to think, time to figure out some things.